All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to open back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at the second half of our study on comfort one another. Okay, so last week we looked really at the doctrinal side of this, or the theological side of this. And we just started out with the question, what is comfort? What does it mean to comfort someone? What does it mean to minister comfort to someone? So this is obviously pertinent to really the message that we had on Sunday and the discussion about the kind of fellowship we ought to be having. This would be a level of that. And then with the news with Sister Ann, then obviously the Lord is opening up opportunities for us, not just with her, but in the life of a body, there's plenty of opportunities to minister comfort, to receive comfort. And so what does it mean? Well, it means to impart strength. It means to encourage. And all this is at the beginning. We're just doing a quick review. To impart strength or to impart courage. It really means to stir someone up to hope so that they can move forward walking with the Lord through whatever situation that they're in. One of the misunderstandings that we have of comfort is that comfort is just simply a shoulder that you can cry on and then that's it. Not in the New Testament sense. That's not what comfort is. Comfort is that which stirs you up, gives you courage, gives you strength, gives you consolation to walk through a difficulty that the Lord has allowed to happen or that the Lord has allowed in your life. We hit on this last week. I won't do it as much this time, but comfort is not eliminating somebody's suffering. Comfort is not even eliminating somebody's sadness. Suffering is something that we receive from the hand of God, and God uses it in a sanctifying way. And for us to seek to completely eliminate suffering in somebody's life is potentially us seeking to shortcut what God's doing in their lives as far as their spiritual growth. So we can't do that anyway. You can't shortcut somebody's suffering or alleviate somebody's suffering as far as internally goes. And then we looked at the different sources of comfort. Our comfort is a person. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, the God of all comfort. Our comfort is a message. It's the gospel message that we have been reconciled to God through Christ so that we are now at peace and His provisions and His promises are open to us. Comfort is also the source of our comfort, is also the paraclete. Okay, and we looked at this and I'm just going to quickly go through it because we're going to use this for our practical side. But the paraclete, that's the Holy Spirit, the comforter that Jesus, this is the title that Jesus gives the Holy Spirit in these passages. And he says that he's going to abide with you. He will teach and bring to remembrance all that the Lord has said, is what he tells his disciples. In John 15, 26, the comforter, the paraclete, the helper, will testify of Christ. And then in John 16, 7 through 8, the comforter brings conviction of sin. And we mentioned last time that that kind of seems like an odd one whenever we're thinking about what it means to comfort, impart strength, impart courage, consolation. But as we'll look at, the truth is there is no comfort for the individual who is enslaved in sin outside of repentance and faith. And so this is the way the comforter works. And so now let's think about how we grow in ministering comfort. So turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, We're reading verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation." Okay, so how do we grow in comfort? Well, Paul begins this passage by praising the God of all comfort, the one who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, Paul says. And then he goes on for the next several verses talking about this interchange between the sufferings that we go through, which equips us to be able to comfort others who are suffering, and then the comfort that we receive that also equips us to be able to turn around in a compassionate way and minister comfort to our brothers and sisters. So, how do we grow in ministering comfort? Well, I think if we were to poll tonight and ask, you know, who would aspire to being competent in this area, to feeling, you know, confident that you could minister comfort in this area, that you would be good at it, I think every one of us would raise our hands. Okay, but the difficulty that we have, and this is what I want to point out in the first area, is that the first way that you grow in being able to minister comfort is by being willing to receive God's comfort from others. Okay, so it's easy. I don't want to say it's easy, but it's easier for us to minister comfort than it is for us at times to be willing and humble enough to receive comfort from other people. You know, whenever you're on the ministering end, it's you're on the strong side of things. Whenever you're on the receiving end, you're on the weak side of things. And it is very difficult to be weak at times, isn't it? But here's the truth. In God's economy, until you're humble enough to receive comfort, you're not going to be very effective at ministering comfort. Because God comforts us in our afflictions. How? Well, he does that through his Spirit. He does that through his Word. He does that through his promises. But he also, brothers and sisters, does that through his people. That's why we even have this commandment to begin with. And so I can tell you from just my own experience that I'm much more comfortable ministering comfort than I am receiving. There's just a lot of different reasons for that. Part of it is just, I suppose, my personality. I just enjoy doing things. I enjoy being active. So I'm a pastor. I'm involved in biblical counseling. If there's somebody that needs help, then I'm more than willing to volunteer. But it's not so easy if I'm the one in need of help to humble myself to receive it. Why? Well, because look at my options. Okay. And you could be saying the same thing about me. Right? It's difficult to humble ourselves to receive comfort from people who we know well enough to know their quirks and their warts and their weaknesses and the sides of them that might rub us the wrong way or so forth and so on. God doesn't call professionals to minister comfort in the economy of the kingdom of God. God calls his blood-bought children to minister comfort to one another. And he grows us in this as we're able to receive that comfort from God and from others. So, how do we grow? Well, you're not going to be effective at ministering until you're effective at receiving, or at least willing to receive God's comfort from others. And I've said this already. In God's economy, we learn to effectively minister comfort by humbly receiving comfort from others. Number two, as we think about how to grow in ministering comfort, I want to give four categories of paracletic ministry. That is, ministry that we're modeling after the paraclete, the passages we saw in John, that guide us in discerning how to minister comfort to both sinners and sufferers in various circumstances. And the key word in this is discernment. Discernment is always a necessary part of ministering comfort, because there's no two situations that are alike, and there are no two situations with two different people that are alike. So you're not going to, it would not be wise to try to minister comfort to me the same way that you would try to minister comfort to my wife. Right? And you could pick any two people that you wanted to in this room, and the truth is, you're not going to minister comfort the same way, because the needs aren't going to be the same, or at least the ministry's not going to be the same. And so we've got to exercise discernment here. There are times where people are comforted, and we'll talk about presence here in a minute. There are times where people are comforted by having a shoulder to cry on. I will tell you, that's not usually the kind of comfort that I'm looking for. If you give me a shoulder to cry on, I'm going to let you have your shoulder. Okay? I don't want it. There are other areas, though, that would be very helpful. Okay? So, again, discernment is the key, and we'll talk about in a minute how knowing a person is vital to ministering comfort to that person. So discernment, key word, discernment. We want to impart courage, impart strength, impart consolation to an individual. All right, so again, four categories of paracletic ministry. Number one, the comfort of presence. As we're trying to take what the Holy Spirit does, what Jesus says the Holy Spirit does in this ministry of a helper or a comforter. Number one, we saw in John 14:16, he says, he will abide with you. So the comfort of presence. Number two, comfort of the word. The Spirit comes and he teaches and he brings things to remembrance. And I think it's worth pointing out that he brings things to remembrance that are relevant at the time that we need them. It's not just that he brings abstract things to remembrance at any old given time. Part of the Spirit's ministry is that he brings things to remembrance when you need them. Okay, so comfort of the word. Number three, the comfort of Christ. He will testify of Christ. You know, the truth is, we can only try to minister comfort to people. Comforting somebody is a supernatural thing. I don't have the ability to do it, neither do you. But Christ does. And so the encouragement that we are trying to minister to others is, again, to give them hope and endurance so that they are walking with Christ, going to Christ, and being ministered by him. We're just trying to help them to continue in that. And then, number four, the comfort of dealing with personal sin. John 16, 7 through 8, he will bring conviction of sin. So let's look at these individually. So number one, comfort of presence. This phrase that we all love in Scripture, these passages probably that many of you, if you don't have them memorized word for word, you're at least familiar with them. to where God is telling his people again and again and again, I'm with you. I'm with you. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art what? With me. With me. He's not taking away the scary scenario. He's walking with David through the scary scenario. So I am with you, he says. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, because why? Yeah, it's easy, cheat. I got you a cheat sheet up there. It's the same every time, okay? Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I'm what? I'm with you. Matthew 28:20, Jesus commissions the church, and he says, lo, I am with you. Okay? God thinks that it is a pretty effective way to minister to his children by reassuring them of the fact that he's with them. They're not alone. Okay? This is one of the ways that, that scripture becomes more than just platitudes for the believer. Okay, the Lord is not asking us to believe something or even to walk in something that he's not there with us, walking alongside, giving strength, making his presence known to his people. He's with us. And that's a comfort, isn't it? John Newton says, prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. Okay, the comfort of his presence. And so, brothers and sisters, as we try to grow in Christ's likeness and minister the comfort of presence to our brothers and sisters, how do we do that? Well, number one, just by taking and expressing an interest in people. Okay, this is what really, if you can just observe this from what Paul's doing in 2 Corinthians. It's enough that Paul would write one letter to the Corinthians with all they had going on. Can you believe he took the time to write two? Now you might say they probably needed six. Okay, but there's only a few churches that Paul writes to more than once. Okay, so the fact that the Corinthians are getting, and there may have been more than two, but at least that what we have, the fact that Paul is following up on this Corinthian church, and he starts out with ministering comfort. You remember these guys, right? Getting drunk at the Lord's table, suing each other, guys sleeping with their dad's wives, chaos in the worship service. I mean, just more than we could imagine would be going on in a church. And yet Paul is expressing an interest in their spiritual well-being, in them as people. So, ways to minister the comfort of presence. Number one, just taking an interest in people and expressing that interest. You know, there are times where we can be interested in people and have an interested disposition, but it's something that no one knows anything about because it hasn't been expressed. Okay, so moving toward people, expressing an interest in them. Number two, by listening well. Listening well. Proverbs 18:13, a fool answers a matter before he hears it. So, listening is a vital part of ministering comfort. I said this the other day at the men's conference. You've heard this before, but it's something we ought to remind ourselves regularly. God gave you two ears and one mouth, and there's a reason for that. Okay? What do you suppose that is? Talk less, listen more. Okay? He wants you to listen. You can't be wise without listening. Okay? Wisdom requires that you take the time to understand what you're about to speak into. Okay? So listening well. And then just being present. Just showing up. I gave the example, you've heard me tell this story before, but I gave the example at the men's conference of when we were rushed to the NICU and Le Bonheur with David, and just the chaotic experience that was. Abby had to stay behind at the hospital. I was in the ambulance with David. We get to Le Bonheur. I had no idea where I was supposed to go, what I was supposed to do. It was just a really helpless type situation. And I remember getting to the room, and they had this orientation packet, and they were trying to tell me about this, that, and the other. And I had, again, my head was just kind of spinning. And then I looked up, and there was Isaac. And he was walking to the room. And I can't tell you a single word that he said, but I can tell you he was there. And I can tell you it was so meaningful and comforting just to look up and see that my friend was there. Okay? Your presence, many times, means a whole lot more than your words initially. Just the fact that you care, that you took the time to show up, to be there. What else? Ministering comfort, cultivating and expressing a heart of sympathy and compassion. You know, God is the God of all mercies. That word mercies there could also be translated the God of all compassions. Co-passion. That means you are moved by the suffering of another. Okay? Your passions are stirred by the passions of another. And so cultivating and expressing that heart of sympathy and compassion. You know, I said this at the men's conference, and I'll say it again. This is something that all the women are shaking their head like this, and all the guys are scratching their head like this, right? Compassion is not just for women. Women. The most compassionate person in the Bible is God. Jesus Christ, the most compassionate being who ever walked the earth. And so men, compassion is for us as well. For us to learn to grow in and to express. Exercising self-awareness, ministry of presence. Make sure you're focused on the person's comfort and not your own. So this is where listening well and knowing somebody is going to come into play. Different people have different personalities. Okay, so if you're trying to minister to someone who's not a big talker, but you are, guess what you ought to be doing? Vice versa. If you're trying to minister to someone who enjoys talking and you tend to be a quiet mouse, guess what you ought to be trying to do? Okay, the point here is that the focus is on comforting the person, which means I'm going to make the adjustments that I need to make in order to do that. So another example for that is over the years I've learned with the different surgeries and that David's had. We've been in, I don't know, 8 surgeries, I think, in 9 years. And so those are always just strange times and don't know what to say, don't know what to do. Well, I figured out, it's taken a little bit, but I figured out during those times, Abby doesn't want to hear me talk. Not because she hates me, but she's not up for conversation. She's nervous. She wonders what's going on. She's ready for the whole thing to be over with. And so what I've learned to do is go get a cup of coffee, and we sit together, and we drink a cup of coffee together, and we wait for the surgery to be finished. That's not my natural inclination. But if I'm going to minister to my wife, that's the best thing I can do in the moment. And so that's what I do. Now, I'm not saying that to say, look at me, I'm so great. I'm saying that to say, if we're going to comfort others, we've got to be focused on others. Okay? We've got to know them enough to know what do they prefer, what would be helpful. So self-awareness is going to be a big one. All right, the comfort of the Word, moving past the comfort of presence, comfort of the Word. Number one, Scripture can go where you can't go. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it divides asunder even to soul and spirit. It goes straight into the heart when the Holy Spirit uses the Word. And so just as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, brings to remembrance the things that Christ has said and teaches Well, if we're going to bring comfort, that is, impart courage and strength, then one of the things that we want to be able to use skillfully and wisely is the Word. Because again, that's one of the sources of comfort that we have. Secondly, the Word can do what you can't do. Okay, the Word teaches. The Word convicts. The Word corrects. The Word trains in righteousness. The Spirit uses the Word to bring about transformation that you and I just cannot do on our own. And the Word was given that it might build us up. So we want to use the comfort of the Word. Now, one of the things that we want to make sure that we're thinking about is not just one problem, one verse, or this is my go-to verse for this, that, or the other, but Proverbs 15:23 talks about how good an apt word is in due season. That is, the right word at the right time. We want to grow in our ability to be able to minister the right word at the right time. Now, that's going to take, again, knowledge of the person, knowledge of the situation. There is a difference in dispensing the Word and ministering the Word. Okay? Usually, if you're trying to minister to the Word to somebody and you're trying to impart comfort, it needs to be a pretty concise passage. You may be excited about something that you've learned, or you may be excited about an insight that helps you out. But most people who are suffering, who are just struggling to focus, who have foggy brains, they aren't interested in listening to you read extended passages. Okay? So, minister the Word. Precise, concise passages are usually best here. How do we do it? Well, one good way to minister comfort to somebody is to see if there's a particular passage that's already been ministering comfort to the individual's heart. Okay, you know, the Holy Spirit's always at work in His people's lives. The Holy Spirit is already at work in comforting God's people before we ever get there. And if we can figure out ahead of time what the Spirit has been using to minister comfort and just jump on board with what the Spirit's already doing, we'll probably be a lot more effective. Okay, so if the Spirit's already using a particular passage, we might just camp out there. We might just remind that individual later of the passage and even in the moment, see how is it that God is using that to bring comfort and try to reinforce those things. Maybe we want to try to discern if there's nothing in particular that the person is already thinking about. Try to discern what scriptural truth would be helpful in the immediate circumstance. Again, all scriptural is useful, 2 Timothy 3:16, profitable, useful. But it's not all useful for the same things or in the same ways. And a pretty easy way to think about that is that most of you, I would say none of you, in times of trouble run to the genealogies. Okay? They're useful, but they're not really useful for that. Okay, so we want to discern what scriptural truth would be helpful in this immediate circumstance. Do they need to be reminded of something? Do they need to be taught a scriptural reality that they currently do not know? Now, let me just add this in. I can't remember if I have this in the PowerPoint or not. But you may be thinking at this point, as we're talking about these things, there's a lot involved in this whole comfort thing. And the answer is yes, that's right. One another ministry is not efficient. You cannot be a slave to comfort and ease and be an effective one another ministry. It's just not going to work for several reasons. Number one, you don't get to schedule when people have difficulties. That's just a sovereign, providential unfolding of God's plans. Number two, there are no little tidbit boxed formulas that we can use. So
How are you going to know
if somebody needs to be taught or reminded of a scriptural reality that they currently do not know? Through conversation. Through knowing the person. Taking the time to understand where they are, where their hearts are. So again, this is not efficient business. This is really what it means to pour your life into somebody or a group of people. All right, the comfort of Christ. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Christ says, "Come to me, I will give you rest." Rest is found in Him. Romans 8, 1. 31 through 32, 38 through 39, all these realities that there is no condemnation. So what could keep us away? There's no separation. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And then 31 and 32, if God is for you, who can be against you? These realities that there's nothing standing in the way of the believer to go to Christ for help. Hebrews 2, 17 through 18. This is the reminder that Christ was made like unto his brethren so that he might be a merciful high priest, so that he might be able to succor us in our time of need. That is, give just the right help at just the right time in just the right circumstance. Okay, the comfort of Christ, pointing people to go to him. 4:16, we can go confidently, boldly to the throne of grace to receive help and mercy and grace in our time of need. Hebrews 7:25, he ever lives to make intercession for us. And so, how do we minister comfort of Christ? Well, one way is to kind of help crop a biblical view of Christ back into the circumstance that might seem so hopeless. You know, whenever tragedies hit, whenever difficulties hit, we find ourselves in seasons of suffering. Many times it is easy to get so tunnel vision that we see just the problem. And we've forgotten. We've gotten gospel amnesia. We've forgotten the pertinent promises of the Lord. We've forgotten that God is in the problem. He's doing something here. He's with me here. So the way that someone's worded that is just helping someone crop a biblical view of Christ back into the picture. Is there any such thing as a Christian who's suffering because Christ is punishing them? I'm not saying discipline, but punish because Christ is mad at them. Is that a conceivable scenario? No. Never. You want to know how many people struggle with that who are suffering? More than you think. More than you think. That is a very common struggle that people have. And it is a very welcomed relief when someone can point them to Scripture and say, impossible. Impossible. In order for God to be mad at you, He must become mad at Christ. And that's impossible. And so He might be trying to discipline you right now to bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, which may not feel good, but it is good. But that's because He loves you, not because He's mad at you. Okay. Helping someone crop a biblical view of Christ back into the circumstance that seems so hopeless. Helping your friend go to Christ in prayer for help. Again, this whole business of comfort, we've got to keep the source in mind. The source is not how eloquent I can be. The source is not even how accurate I can be. The source is me trying to help an individual go to Christ themselves to find help and comfort in their time of need. It's me trying to help an individual endure in this. Okay, but this is where the help is really found. It's helping our friends see how the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ changes everything for the believer. And it really does. That's one of those areas of amnesia that we can get whenever the pressure's on, whenever the suffering is heavy, whenever the difficulties hit. But the truth is, the most relevant detail in the life of the Christian that covers everything is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That makes all the difference in the world. So we want to help encourage our friend to think through those things. All right, lastly, the comfort of dealing with personal sin. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers a sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes will find mercy. Again, apart from confession and repentance, there is no gospel comfort for sin. Repentance is a must in order for comfort to take place. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And so to repent of your sin is to taste of the goodness of God. Okay, that would qualify for what it means to try to minister comfort to somebody. And then 1 John 1:9, to deal with your sin is to restore your fellowship with Christ. So again, we're thinking about comfort just from a different perspective here, different scenario. Comfort from sin, there's comfort from suffering. So how do we minister comfort to people who are dealing with personal sin? Or how do we encourage people to deal with personal sin? Number one, just gently confront. Someone said care front. It's just that we're doing this because we care about people. Gently confront your friend with scripture that clearly articulates their sin as sin. So it's one thing for you and I to express a personal concern. But again, the Spirit brings to mind the things that Christ has said. The Spirit teaches. And so while we can't do that, we're dependent on Him. If we're going to confront someone with their sin, we need to have Scripture to clearly articulate what you're doing is a sin against God. And do it in a gentle way. Two, help people see that their sin is primarily an offense against God. That's hard to see. That's hard to see for people who are enslaved in sin. Matter of fact, that's hard. That's been hard for you to see all week, every time you've sinned. I mean, if you go back and you think about the different times that at least that you're aware of that you sinned this week, more than likely you haven't been thinking that was primarily against God. Now, if you've taken the time to confess and repent, maybe you have, but this is something that can fly under the radar, but it's true. Our sins are primarily against God. Then we want to help people see the grace of confession and repentance. That 1 John 1:9 is a good passage for that. How do we deal with sin? How do we find the comfort that Christ holds out to sinners? Well, it's through confession and repentance. That's how. There's joy, there's freedom in reconciliation and restoration. That's both reconciliation and restoration to Christ. If we're thinking about a damaged relationship, it goes the same way there. But sin has to be dealt with first. It is so pertinent, so common for people to just want to sweep their sin under the rug and move on as if nothing ever happened. That's how dysfunction sets in. That's how hard-hearted coldness sets in between your relationship with you and God and your relationships with other people. Okay, there's freedom in reconciliation and restoration that comes through confession and repentance. That is helping people see it is horrible to sin, but it is wonderful to be forgiven. So ministering the comfort of dealing with personal sin. Okay, and that's it on this practical part of it for tonight. So obviously there's a lot of nuts and bolts that have to be filled in. But generally speaking, I think this gets you going on the right track. If you want access to the PowerPoint slides to go back and review, just tell me and I'll email them to you. And the prayer is that you would grow, that I would grow in our ability to be intentional and biblical about ministering comfort to our brothers and sisters in Christ.